will say, I belong to the Lord. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Still another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and will take the name Israel. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first, and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes? Tell him, or tell what will come. Do not tremble, do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, only a fool says there is no God.
Their little packets. kinds of fish. And we put the information on all those, thanks to Dina, she helped print some of that, and Sharon, and all the people that were helping with Bible School helped tag on the information about the Bible School, and so it was wonderful. And of course, our pastor, he was on the parade throwing out good things too, so it was absolutely wonderful, and I thank all of you. Mary Ann, she contributed some more fish, so we have about 700 things to pass out, and it still wasn't enough. But thank you all so much for participating, and it's a real fun event to help promote Bible School.
You know, we also had in the bulletins your grandkids, as well as the Johnson family, throwing out stuff. And every now and then, Iris would want to throw what I was saving. And now she just melts. We'll come to you in a little bit here, Amy. But as long as I'm back here, and Mary Ann Seifert's here, she has an announcement.
I don't know how many of you were fortunate enough to get a chance to go to the movie, The Sound of Freedom. It's on a tough topic. It's called trafficking, human trafficking, and it is an evil, evil thing. It is prevalent in our whole world, including the United States. I'm here this morning to tell you a name, Dani Utz is her last name. You may or may not know her. She is a summer person that periodically is able to come to our church here. She was a lovely lady that painted the lighthouse last year for Vacation Bible School. This year she's painting us two life-size Daniels, which are amazing. They're finished. We will have them make their appearance at Vacation Bible School. I bring her name up because Dani, I joined a Bible study at a non-denominational church this spring on the topic of Daniel. Can you imagine? Daniel, that's our Vacation Bible School topic too. Anyway, Dani went to see this Sound of Freedom movie. She saw it twice, and it made a huge impact upon her. She asked the 19 women, 20, I make number 20, to consider making a bold and brave statement about human trafficking. We're going to meet on August 3rd, which is a Thursday at 5 o'clock at Gold Point. There will be some government-type people, influential people in our community and in our state, I believe, will be the ones present there. We hope to march a little bit with posters we've made, probably 25, 30 posters. Now we need some extra people to come and hold those posters and march with us. So that's why I'm standing up this morning, to say if anybody is interested, please talk to me. That meeting is going to be at about 5 o'clock, I think, but more details to follow. August 3rd, Thursday. Second meeting, August 5th, which is a Saturday at 8:15, between the East and West Bridge. Be bold, be brave. Now is not the time to stay home, but to be a Christian and stand up, for God's children are not for sale.
Thank you. I do have a message today. I'm not letting people just do announcements to take up time here.
I'm going to take up time because Tim told me I couldn't talk. So I told him he didn't have a choice. Just tons of people have been helping with Bible School. We got a lot still to do with just a week ahead to go. I'm meeting with people on Wednesday at 10 a.m. and next Sunday at 4 p.m. And anybody that's helping that wants to know kind of the lay of the land and what's going on. If you're teaching a class, you know who you are. If those times don't work, set up a time and I can give you your curriculum so you know what's going on. I just want everybody to know what's going on. Most of the kids that are helping, the middle school and high schoolers, are coming on Sunday afternoon, just so I can give them kind of our expectations of what a volunteer is supposed to do. So if anybody wants to be there for that. There's decorating this week on Friday. If anybody wants to come, I will be here every day this week. So if anybody wants to come and be part of my crazy and just help with whatever comes to mind, I'll be here all week. Just call me here to show up. Also, we have 23 signed up for Vacation Bible School as of this morning. So, and that's all I'll say before Tim like pushes me out the door.
One more. You don't have to stand up, Dale. Dale's not that old, but he feels like he is.
And I'm not a talker, so I have to write down what I'm going to say or I'll forget. First, I want to give thanks and praise to God for my recovery. And then I give thanks to all of the wonderful, loving people that have been praying for me. The amount of love and caring shown by all of you is incredible. Amazing grace comes to my mind. I pray for God's blessings to all of you. Thank you.
You are welcome, Dale. That's all the announcements other than what I'm going to give you. Just to let you know that Anna Teelwer had texted my wife this morning informing her that Chuck is going to be taken off all intravenous feedings and off oxygen. And he's on hospice in Sioux Falls. So he went there by ambulance on Tuesday evening, I believe. So we know that today is probably going to be the day that we will hear that Chuck will be passing on. And just keep Donna and the family. All the family is here in Sioux Falls. And so I don't know what's going to happen, but we will inform you when we hear anything. So Chuck just had his 89th birthday on Friday. A week ago this last Friday, and we went over and saw him Friday night. He hadn't been doing anything for a couple of days, but when we showed up in his room, he said, "Sharon, you're so pretty." And I said, "Chuck, tell her that she married the most perfect guy." He didn't say that. But anyway, I did feed him up chocolate ice cream, and he loved it. But we had a great time when we were there. And then the next day, Donna texted and said, "Could you come again because he's not doing anything?" So we just share that with you that something's going to be happening here at Harbor Joy, probably this coming week with having a funeral. There's other announcements that are in your bulletin. Please read them. I just want to let you know that there is a little thing in there in the back of the flyer in your bulletin that talks about mission giving, what we've done as a church. I just want you to know that some of the giving is just once a year, and some of it is every month. If you got any questions, talk to those that are on the mission committee, and they will explain to you what's going on there. But we just want to make sure that you are aware of that. So let's have a word of prayer together, shall we? Heavenly Father, our first concern is always for Chuck and for Donna. And Lord, we know that Chuck is always here if he could be here, even if he had to use the walker. He always had a good sense of humor when he came. And people always enjoyed visiting with him along the way. And thank you for Donna giving her the energy and the strength to just care for Chuck as he couldn't do a lot of things that would not have been for Donna. And so please pray to keep the family today. As we know, the end is going to probably happen today. And so may your presence be made known. And may the family sense your presence there in the room that he is in. And that you would just comfort them as only you can. So we thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here today. Thank you, Lord, for Cale being here today, who I know is going to take sermon notes for his pastor. And so it's just good to see him come with his grandpa and grandma today. And so we are just very blessed. And we thank you for all that are here. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that we know that when we leave today, we leave different than the way that we came, because we spent time with Jesus, with you, Lord. In your name we pray.
Picture that you've got.
as we hear the words of Jesus as he spoke to a crowd on the shoreline while he is in Dale Garrow's boat. He's in a boat. From Matthew, another parable today. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" When he left the crowd and went into the house, his disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." And Jesus answered them. He said, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we who have ears today, even if it's a little bit of hard hearing, we got to turn up our hearing aids. May that be the case. But help us to listen, to hear what you have for us today. It's very important. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I believe we looked at a parable last Sunday. And I want to make sure you understand this, that the parables that are being taught, that are being told by Jesus, Jesus says this. In the same chapter, verse 16 of chapter 13, it says that, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Jesus is fulfilling the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah. 600 years before, he says these things. Isaiah talked about someone coming to speak in parables, what the people will hear, but they will not understand, even though they see, even though they hear. Maybe, just maybe, there could be someone here today who fits that description. You've heard this many times. You've heard a lot of things many times. But do you really believe these things that you hear? Or do you understand these things that Jesus is talking about in parables? We find that parables that Jesus gave was a way in which people, when they hear them, they all go like, got it. I understand what he's saying. And it's one of those things that should surprise a person when he's teaching, that he wants them to get something. He's teaching them something, a truth that is going to last for eternity. It's no different here today. I've been told a number of years ago that Jesus speaks more about hell than he does heaven in the New Testament. I find that very interesting. I didn't know that. Different ways in which hell is spoken of, and we have one of those here in our text here today. It talks about the weeping and gnashing of teeth. It means eternity in a place that you do not want to go to, because there's no escape. There's no way out. And that's why God sent us his only Son, that none should have to go there. Because Jesus paid it all for us to forgive us of our sins. So in our text today, this parable is a little bit different than last week's parable. Last week it was about the soil types. And the real point there was, what kind of a soil are you? There's four different kinds of soil. The hard path, the rocky soil, the soil that's got a lot of thistles in it that would crowd out God's word, and then you've got the good Iowa soil that produces a lot of corn and soybeans. If it rains, of course. But he really wants to ask us, what kind of a soil are you when it comes to hearing God's word? Is it going to be planted in good soil or not? Today, the next parable that he mentions here in Matthew is one of the parable of the weeds. And it talks about a couple of people we have not heard of before in the last parable, because he brings out the Son of Man, and he brings out the evil one, who is the devil. It's identified in this parable. And also it's identified in this parable is that, of course, the people that he's talking to, you always want to address and connect with the audience that you are speaking to. And so Jesus knows that everybody on the shore who can hear him from the boat, they know what farmers do, they know what kind of life it is to be in an agricultural area. And so as he gives this parable about the weeds, they would be able to relate to this parable quite well. And I think some of you here today would be able to relate to this parable quite well too, even though it's 2,000 years later. What we find in this parable is there is something called harvest. And because of the weeds, the Son of Man is going to say, gather up the weeds first and then burn them. After that, take the wheat, the good grain, put it in a safe place, put it in my storehouse, put it in my granary. It'll be safe there. And that's what I really want to keep. Now keep in mind here that at the time Jesus talks about this parable, the people didn't have a seeder or a drill to put it into the ground. They would broadcast. They would just take the seed out of the sack and they would throw it into the air, and wherever it landed, that's where it would probably grow. And so they could not walk in rows to be careful not to step on the tender growth of the wheat that they have sown, because what's in the bag is all good seed. Where do the weeds come from? And you've probably noticed that if you have a garden or you've got any kind of property where you go like, I just pulled that weed out. How come there's another one coming in that same place? Or there's a different kind of a weed. Where did that come from? Our soil I keep telling people it's just like sin. Once you think you weeded everything out, guess what? Doesn't take long and there's another weed. Another sin is there. It's just like trying to kill house flies. How many flies have you killed in your lifetime? You think you got them all? Yeah, there's more out there. There's more that will come around as well. So the dilemma that we find in this parable is this. Do you pull the weeds? Do you go out and step on the good wheat and pull out the weeds? Because when you pull out the weed, you know you're going to take extra soil with that. You're also going to be pulling out good wheat. Or do you wait until harvest time? That's kind of the dilemma. What do? Do you wait? Let the weeds grow with the good wheat and wait till harvest? Or do you go out there and try to handle it yourself and destroy some good stuff that doesn't need to be destroyed? The parable tells us about heaven being a safe place where the wheat is stored. Secure, safe. That's what heaven is like. The weeds, on the other hand, is not heaven. The weeds will be gathered and they'll be burned. It tells us that there is a hell. Probably never hear that word very often these days, which is a sad thing. We need to hear that. There's a God who is good, and there's an enemy who is very evil, known as the devil or a Satan. In this world that we live in, we are tempted by the devil. We are tested by God. Tested that our faith will become strong. The devil doesn't want you to grow in Christ. The devil does not want you to hear God's word. He wants everything to keep you away from knowing Jesus. So that you're here today is a good sign. I'm here. But maybe some of you said, you know, I really didn't want to come here today. I'm glad you came. Glad you're here. If you got ears, listen up. Jesus is called in, you know, he's asked by the disciples, you know, explain to us what you're talking about here with these weeds. And so Jesus identifies all of the characters, which is pretty much all the characters in this parable. He tells his disciples, and it's only to his disciples. And you only find this parable in Matthew. You don't find it in any of the other gospel writers. And Jesus tells them, well, the Son of Man is the one who sows the good seed, and he's also the one who directs the harvest, of how the harvest is going to go, or when it's to start, and what you're to do. The Son of Man comes from the Old Testament. It comes from even the book of Daniel, where it's referring to the Messiah. It's a messianic title, the Son of Man. We know that Jesus referred to himself in the New Testament as the Son of Man. The field, he says, is the world. So you got both good and bad things going on in the world at the same time. Not hard to comprehend that. We still have that today. But he says, the field is the world. Why do we need to send missionaries? Why do we need to be telling others about Jesus Christ? Because they need to hear the truth. They need to hear about the one who died for them and rose again on the third day. Jesus explains to his disciples that the good seed, this time it's not God's word, the good seed, he says, are the sons of heaven. And the weeds are the sons of the evil one. One of the things things that we don't often know about is that in Israel there is a weed that looks just like wheat. But you don't know that it is a weed until harvest time, when it heads out. It's called darnel. And as it grows, it looks just like you've got a bumper crop coming, but when the harvest comes, I mean closer to the harvest, and it heads out, you can tell that, oh my goodness, there's a lot of weeds out there in that field. I never thought it was there. It's called darnel. You don't know it until it heads out because it's different than the real wheat. In North Dakota, we have what is called wild oats. You can have a field, especially an oat field. We grow oats because you need to feed the cows and grind feed with oats. But you can have a good-looking oats field, but then all of a sudden you start looking in some places, it's like, man, there's a lot of wild oats. It grows a little bit higher. It was a little bit taller than the rest of the field. And when you harvest it, it's kind of like a little darker kernel, sometimes black. And so when you look into the truck or you look into the hopper, you go like, man, there's a lot of weeds, a lot of wild oats in there. But you don't know that until harvest time. Here in Israel, remember that when they harvest, they did not have machines. They would go up onto a hilltop, and they would stomp down on whatever they brought in from the field there, and then they would take a winnowing fork and throw it in the air, and the seed drops straight down, the wind would take away the chaff and blow that away, and then they would bring together the good seed that was left and take that into their places of storage. So the devil here is definitely spoken of as the enemy. The harvest is talking about the end of the age, the end of time, the end of history. And the harvester is the one who go out and harvest, Jesus says, are the angels. They're the harvesters. It's not International Harvester. It's the angels are harvesters. So in this parable, Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of heaven. Don't lose sight of that. The kingdom of heaven is like the sower and the weeds. There's a delay in what takes place here until the harvest comes, but there's also going to come a day when there is a separation that takes place. The good will be separated from the bad. Where the bad will be separated from the good. But there will be a separation, just like Jesus talks about, you know, the sheep and the goats. The sheep will go to his right, the goats will go to the left. Anything that goes to the left, will that go to heaven? But at the harvest time, the end of the age, when God becomes the judge, there will be a separation that will take place. We have a little taste here of they call it eschatological. It's a big word. It's a theological word, but it definitely means the end of times is what that word means. The study of the end times. But we don't find anything here that has to do with the rapture. It has nothing to do with 7 years of tribulation. There's no pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. There's no mention of when this is going to take place, but it's going to happen in the end. We are to be ready when that happens. So there's going to be a harvest. That harvest means there's going to be a judgment at the end of the world. And when that happens, it's always going to say that Jesus is victorious. Jesus will be victorious. Anyone who has placed his or her faith in Jesus Christ has to worry about nothing. Jesus will be our victor, as he already is here today. Romans 8:1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's wonderful words. Jesus has paid it all for us. So Jesus explains the meaning to his disciples and only to them. But both good and bad are going to live together, reside together, until the day of harvest. Then there will be a separation. Where will you be at that time? Where will you be? Are you going to be bound, tied up, and be burned? Or are you going to be gathered together and put in the storehouse and be in heaven with Jesus? I asked Chuck last Friday, it's only 2 days ago, do you love Jesus? Chuck kind of goes like, why do you even ask me such a stupid question? He goes, of course I do. Of course I do. And he says, well, that's all. I just need to know. I just want to know, Chuck. I said, I know you've had a good faith, a deep faith, for a long time. But I just want to hear from you that you love Jesus. So he sang the song, Jesus loves me, this I know. And he sang it right along with us. So the real question here today, if you have ears and you hear what's being said in this parable, if you really get it, you're going to ask yourself this question. Am I a weed? Am I a weed? You don't want to be a weed. You don't want to be a goat. No. You want to be wheat. You want to be a sheep. Because of Jesus. If you are a weed, I've said already that you're going to be separated, bound, and thrown into the fire. In the Old Testament, the word for hell is called Gehenna. It's a Hebrew word. You will also find it in the book of Revelation, Gehenna. And really what Gehenna is, it's the what do you call it around here? Where do you take your trash? The truck picks it up and takes it where? To the landfill. In Jerusalem, they would take it to the landfill, but it was a place that they would also burn, and it would burn continually. It's in the valley of Hinnom, outside of Jerusalem. It's its name, Gehenna. It is a place where the burning never stops. It's always smoking. At this time that Jesus is saying that, it might be different nowadays, I don't know. But that's where the word comes from. The fire never goes out. It's kind of like eternal flame. There is no second chances if you go to hell to say, like, how do I get out of here? There is no second chance. We've been given that opportunity today, in this life, to prepare for the life to come. We don't know how many days or years that God is going to give to us. Death can come at any time. Someone can leave this church today and die on the way home. And it's not their fault. You can be hit by another car, another vehicle, and be killed in a car accident. You can be walking in Walmart and get run over. It can happen at any time, and death is no respecter of any age. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, it talks about the second death, which is being thrown into the lake of fire. That's known as the second death. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 going on, it talks about a harvest. The time of harvest. You can read that for yourself. And Revelation is the last book of the Bible. So the point I'd like to make today, and I want you to hear it, is that the parables are dealing with eternity. Jesus is dealing with eternity, and he always did with people. If you believe in him, you have eternal life. You place your faith in him, you have eternal life. If you reject him, if you say, well, I'll think about it for a while, or I'm just not sure if that's what I want to do at this point in time in my life, well, then you're rejecting him. Because you have said, no, I don't need him. I'll do it my way. Do you have ears? Are you hearing this? Eternity is forever. One of the illustrations I remember of a pastor many, many years ago was this. If there was a bird who went to the Rock of Gibraltar and would take just one grain of granite and fly away with it, once that bird came and took away all that Rock of Gibraltar away, eternity would just begin. And I'm going like, that's a huge rock. Rock of Gibraltar. But given the idea that eternity is a long, long, long time. Will you reach out to Jesus Christ by faith today? Let's pray. Lord, I know there's not everyone here that wants to hear this. But it's right here in your word. And Lord, I don't think you make things so complicated that it takes a rocket scientist to explain it to us. Because all the people on the shoreline who heard this understood when Jesus told the whole parable. They too had to deal with their own eternity of believing or not. Lord, we can go through the motions here in America. Even here in Milford, we can go through the motions by even coming to church every Sunday or being part of parades or Bible studies. It doesn't really matter. We can go through the motions and still not really believe and trust in you. So which way is it today in your life? If Jesus is asking you this morning, are you a wheat? Or are you a wheat? What would be your answer? You cannot be both. You're either one or the other. Eternity will determine the choice that you make. You may be baptized, you may be confirmed. It's no guarantee that you're living for Jesus today. So Lord, speak to those of us who have ears today. And may we come and trust in you as our Savior, and as our Lord, today and every day. We're going to mess up. There's no doubt about that. We'll mess up. But thank you that you forgive us. May you humble us, that when we know we mess up, we ask you to forgive us. So humble us. And may we see the fruit that only you can give as you work in and through us. Fruit not to deceive, but truth that is, or fruit that is full of truth and honesty. You love a humble spirit. So Lord, let's pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray when they ask. Teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Just want a little sidelight here is that last Sunday there was someone who was here who thought that she forgot her purse or wallet, whatever it was. Gave me a call to come back here to the church to see if it was left in the sanctuary here. We came back, we looked all over, did not find it. She gave me her phone number. Thank you to whoever found it on Monday. Because you made one lady a very happy lady.
She was in the pew. It was hidden behind one of the legs.
Yeah, she forgot where she sat. So she missed it. And I just took her granted. She knew where she sat. I didn't know where she sat. It reminds me of being lost and then being found. She was very uptight because she couldn't find it. Her phone was in it, but it was dead. So you couldn't call her phone to get it to ring or something. But when she came to my office this week with her husband, I asked her to describe what it looked like first. She goes, "It's black." I said, "Close enough." And she was just so happy. She'd be like, "I just want to hug somebody." So I gave her a hug. Just think of what God really wants to do with us. The song Amazing Grace says, "I once was lost, but now I'm found." It's got to be a thrill for him to know that we come to believe and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. So let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed this morning. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
May be seated. Bob, play the song.